We start seeing smoke go after all.
Yeah, it looks like it's recording here. So.
Yeah. Okay, testing. Testing, 1, 2, 3. I'm calling to order the meeting of the Public Safety Advisory Board for August 22nd, 2016. It's about, 6:12 p.m.? More or less.
Close enough.
Does everybody have a copy of the agenda? So the first order of business is to approve the agenda.
Okay. Should we just briefly say who's in attendance for the...
Oh, yeah, we forgot to do that. Okay. Let's go around the table. I don't think we have a full complement here. Others may be joining us, but at the moment, I'll start. I'm Christine Steele, Chair.
David Baker, Board Member.
Chris Duncan, Board Member.
Tom Friedland, Board Member.
And we're waiting for Lieutenant Stradley to get off the phone and join us. So, any modifications to the agenda? Okay. Well, we are flexible.
Okay.
So, if we need to, we can.
I think the only thing maybe I don't see is there was a request last meeting to go over like the social media workflow for us. And so, maybe during the...
items of interest?
Yeah, or social media update, or we can do that there.
Okay. I wanted, when I drafted this agenda, I wanted to be sure to acknowledge our newest member, Chris Duncan. So, formally, thank you for joining our group, Chris. We're looking forward to your help.
For what it's worth.
and ideas and participation and all of that.
Thank you.
And experience. We have summary notes for the first half of our July 25th meeting, and we do have the audio minutes that Tony Tracy sent an email that she had posted. So I suggest we approve the audio minutes since we don't have a full meeting summary.
Okay.
Is there a motion?
Yeah, I would move to approve the audio minutes from the second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay.
One abstention.
Well, it would not be appropriate for me not having attended that meeting
Act
on that.
Next item is map your neighborhood and block leader training. I had one gentleman that I talked to, and I can't remember his name offhand, who held a map your neighbor, who held a meeting in his neighborhood over the last between now and our previous meeting. I found myself leaving the brochures at the city administrative desk for him.
I apologize for being late. We're working on trying to catch a burglar, and so that was an important call with the guys that work the Marshals Fugitive Task Force. So sorry about that.
No, you had to take that.
Yes. Duty calls. Could you confirm that David turned it on?
Yep, it's recording.
Okay. Was that call that had made that request? I'm not sure.
Because I was copied on one of those requests for map your neighborhood in Robinwood.
Oh, no, that was another gentleman
that
I'm talking with.
Okay.
So, this is a different one. He held his meeting, and now I need to get a bucket to him. And I thought what I would do, if it's okay with the police department, you know, we have the leftover green bags with the different swag from the fair.
Right.
And they're not going very fast. We've schlepped that box until the bottom is falling out up to the concerts. But there are still quite a few.
Okay.
So what I'd like to do is take out enough for every remaining orange bucket, so we could put one, and we'll still have leftover, but
idea.
We'll add that to the cash for what we're putting in the buckets.
Yeah.
almost everybody's got kids, so that's...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Well, and entertainment for the kids should be part of your...
plan.
Of your plan.
Yeah.
So it also occurred to me that if I could enclose in the bucket, in the reward bucket for holding the meeting, if I could enclose the questionnaire that we have yet to develop about the meeting. It occurred to me also to print out a rough map of his neighborhood along with the questionnaire and just say, could you return this and could you color in your neighborhood? Mm-hmm. So that way we get the feedback of, so we can add to that big, we have a big map, Chris, but we used it for a tablecloth. At our last couple of concerts in the park, because it was too windy to put it up. It's really windy up there on that hill.
It can be.
So anyway, I'm just trying to think how to get the feedback and how to, and I'd like that map to be digital anyway.
Right.
And I'm wondering how best to make that request. I know Kathy Aha is the person to do it. But
I think
doesn't that need to come from you?
I think it's an easy thing to come from me because that's in a full blown real emergency like we're talking about, 9.3 or whatever. It'd be really nice to have that available to us, where we had a digital map of these are all the people that have had some training, these are the people in the different neighborhoods. And we have a thing called Snap Maps, which we still use. That is, it would literally be as easy, it's already digitally on every car, as easy as having another overlay where you just colored in the addresses had received instruction. So
formal instruction.
Yeah, formal instruction. So I don't think that would be hard. And yes, I think it'd be an easier sell coming from me, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I know Kathy well, and she's a hard worker.
Yeah.
I don't think she's gonna have a problem with it. But to me it makes sense to have that information available to us. So let me do a little bit of checking on how best. It might even be as simple as we may be able to input the information and highlight the layer if it was available for us to do, so that it didn't have anything to do with them. So let me check with Kathy and find out. So you already have a list of a lot of people that a lot of addresses that have been impacted.
Well. A list of addresses. We have the map that has, it's actually the map that was rolled up in the cupboard. And Denny and Grant have worked over time to color in the neighborhoods that have had the training. And there has been a disconnect getting the feedback after training has taken place. And that's the thing that Denny was talking about earlier in the year about a questionnaire, Survey Monkey, something like that. Mm-hmm. That's been our big challenge, because once people have done it, they just breathe a sigh of relief and they're done and they don't need anything more from us.
Right.
So they tend to just not close the final loop and let us know the meeting took place, and there's just
don't have an email list of people that have been through this.
No, but we have an email list of people who are interested. So going forward.
Okay.
Going forward, we're building that list.
Because that's a way to continually reconnect.
Yes.
We're doing that with businesses. So that if we have a certain kind of crime or something that we want businesses to know about, we can send out that generic email from the PIO to just businesses in this town.
And it just so happens that that is something that we really need to, I think, do next. Denny left me a red folder with a bunch of names and emails and interested parties. We've been collecting names and email addresses at the concerts. Not a lot, but what do you think we have? Maybe 10 people?
Yeah.
So what I'd like to do is get this all in Word or in a digital file of some kind, and then do a mass mailing of some kind. You know, we know you've demonstrated interest in the past in Map Your Neighborhood. I don't know with Denny if these are people that names he's collected when he gave the training, like at the library and here at the police station. They could be, so they may have already taken the training. So we need to think of some message to these people, and just asking them to respond and let us know if they took the training or if they're interested in taking the training or, you know, what. But that's kind of the next step to do with all those names.
Yeah, and this is Chris. What you're saying about the disconnect, too, I think is very valid, because going through the training, you know, I came to the police station, getting all the neighbors to agree to come and go through the tapes and then complete the little booklet and all has been the hard part. So there are people like myself that have gone around and are working on it stealth, because they'll talk to me and be great, you know, great one-on-one and everything, but oh, not a good time, I've got kids' soccer practice or things like this.
Yeah.
But yet we're getting it done in a way, because now we know where the generator is and all. So, you know, I think we have to go at this from different stages between, yes, have the formal meeting, and yes, completed the booklet, and yes, we have some call people that you can connect with. So there might be a couple of colors even that go over.
Right.
You know, a green, love the idea, and then maybe a blue over it or a yellow over it. Make the green to say, yeah, we're good to go. I don't know.
It's the thing is that with people moving in and out of neighborhoods, too.
There is a transient piece. Yeah.
It's a kind of a never-ending process.
Exactly.
So I don't know that you can ever feel that you've pinned it all down.
But if you did have some mapping, you'd certainly be able to go, this area has nobody. Let's concentrate on that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Go door to door.
Yeah.
And try to get people involved.
Yeah. So the orange buckets, I think, can be an incentive because it's an opportunity to make contact after the meeting and to ask, okay, how wide a net did you cast? What what was that net?
Yeah.
So could we have a secretary for this group? got an intern you could lend us?
I don't right now, but that's a really good idea. We had an intern a while back. We haven't had any requests lately. Let me ask, there's a college guy that I've dealt with in the past. And let me see if I can get, I mean, we're getting close to the start of school, so let me see what I can find. I'll get a hold of the law enforcement, people running the law enforcement programs for PCC and Clackamas. And Portland State. Oh, we got our last one from Portland State. And I'll ask.
That'd be great, because I do think we could use some administrative help to get these lists together.
Sometimes.
And maybe even the map.
Yeah.
Just be sure to ask. I've been a field instructor for the social work department, and that's how sometimes the first question that they ask is, this isn't secretarial work, is it?
Well, here's the way we did it last time. And this is the way we would do it this time. Yeah. With any intern, they're going to go on ride-alongs. They're gonna do that kind
okay.
of stuff.
Okay. So this is.
But there may be a data entry side to it as well.
Right. Got it.
Because that's the reality of this job. Yes. Anybody who does this job, I mean, I spend 3/4 of my time at my computer.
Exactly.
So we'll. But I would never. And I'm real honest with the instructors. Last time we had a guy that did a ton of data entry for us. Regarding collecting emergency business contacts. But he also came to our trainings, got to shoot guns, got to be a bad guy in scenarios, you know, that kind of
stuff. Yeah.
And you sick the police dog on him.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. And I had one build a website.
I can see that on
Seinfeld. There's a little liability there. You get a lot of people get hurt doing that. I try to not let that happen. Those dogs bite hard.
I'll bet. Yes. I'll bet. But something like that would be very helpful.
I love that idea.
Yeah. Okay. And meanwhile, I'll start thinking of what the message could say, and maybe I'll send it out, let people put in their 2 cents on the. And just bearing in mind that this list of names I have may be a mixture of people who have taken the training and people who are just interested. So let's.
And remember, when one thing we can do is we can make a request for people that are interested on our Facebook, the police Facebook page and the Twitter deal. Francis does a good job with that. So if there's a message you want sent out from the police department in regards to this, on those two accounts, we can do that. I just have to have Mike be the final say on. I don't get in his way regarding that. He's the final say on what goes out. But if you provide something that you'd like to say, and then he adds or subtracts whatever it is to make it without changing the message, but making sure it's, you know, it's coming from the police department. I mean, we are supportive of that. So if we just. At some point, if you want to do another class here, or if you want to just get people's names and emails that are interested, we can certainly make that request. Through the city website, too, but specifically through the police one.
Yeah. Okay. Something that, that I guess I will bring that up a little bit further down the agenda, because we learned some things promoting Map Your Neighborhood at the concert series, but okay. We'll get to that in a little bit.
So on the subject, I think as far as like accomplishments this board can make this year, being able to kind of clean up the list and get a kind of a basic understanding of where we're at is going to be amazing. Because from there we can target, there we can report to city council. Mm-hmm. So I'm really excited about this. Mm-hmm. So this will be good. So.
Okay. Good. Action item. Does anybody have anything else to add about Map Your Neighborhood program? What's your interest level on that program?
Well, I just on my own, because I had volunteered with our neighborhood association to be the point person in emergency preparedness. So, you know, I watched those videos over and over to where I could be comfortable conducting sessions, and just because I feel like you have to strike when the iron is hot or the interest is hot, I'm available. So, you know, I would be very happy to assist when somebody does make an inquiry and says, hey, I could get somebody to come if there isn't a formal one going. I just feel like we need to encourage any kind of movement of the ball forward, and I'd be very happy to help sort with the list, and because my goal for our association is I have a Bolton map that I'm hoping to color and present progress on. So all I've been able to accomplish when Alan remembers to put me on the agenda is a safety minute, you know, so I could say, okay, everybody have their hearts on shoes by their beds now, raise your hands, or some little piece of it, you know, in order to...
That's a good thing, though.
To get it across.
Yeah.
That's, that it. Or when you're laying and you just can't quite fall asleep, think about what you do that first 2 days after
that'll wake you up.
No, I mean, just make that, making that mental list will put you to sleep. It does me. So
okay,
yeah, well, so anything I can, you know, do along those lines.
I do similar thing for Robinwood.
Yeah.
And I am on the agenda every time. Although I haven't done it as a safety minute. I've just done an update of what this group is doing. But I like your idea because a lot of times I don't have anything new to say.
No. I try to make it fun and funny, like the time I was fishing and when they had the great shakeout. I was on the river and the sirens went off, the tsunami sirens went off, you know. So because it was the great shakeout, and watching to see who got in their cars and went for high ground, and some people went, nope, it's that Thursday, I know what this is. But I just thought I would see how fast it took me to get up to that 80 feet that they estimate. And
what river were you on?
I was up on, it was up in Washington. Do you think I could, Copalis River.
Yeah.
I was on the Copalis River, yeah. So, yeah. And I was not in a spot where there was easy road. I had to climb up bramble.
Oh, dear. Good for you.
From the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. We thought we might have a representative from TVFNR today, but it looked like somebody has been assigned.
Yeah.
Do you recall the name?
I don't.
I don't either.
I've seen emails. There's been contact made. I know Tony's made contact, but I don't know the name off the top of my head.
Okay.
I can check again, though.
Well, it's okay. I can go back through my emails, too.
Well, I need to make... I need to find out who it is and call them and make sure they know
when we
frankly
meet.
That it's not a waste of time for them. You know, some I can give them some impressions of the fact that you guys are moving forward and doing things that they need to be involved in. So I'll have that phone conversation.
Okay, great. Thank you. So, teen driver safety update. I have some what could be bad news on that. I was copied on an email that Denny sent to the organizers of the PIR thing. And he, in his email, he asked, I want 4 places for the... under the name of Westland Police Department, how do I request that? And the answer he got back was, great to hear you guys are interested. Unfortunately, we're all filled up and we have a waiting list. But then there was some little hope held out, you know, I'll get in touch with so-and-so and see what we can do. And so I kind of didn't share that information. I think it came over my desk last week thinking hopefully they can do something. They can add enough to squeeze in 4 more under our sponsorship, but I have not heard, I have not seen any more communication about that.
They come every 6 months, so we could, you know, if we can't do anything for this October one, we shift gears to the one in March.
I thought that was a yearly cycle.
No, it's twice a year.
Okay. Well, that's good news. That's good news.
Yeah. We've been discussing this for, 4 or 5 months, and you know, the procedure that they had wanted us to use was to make a reservation, pay for it, but lock it in under a name of, you know, Public Safety Advisory Board or whatever. And then when we had a name to fit in there, we would change that registration. But that's what should have been done eons ago, which wasn't. We were still wondering whether or not we had funding from the city council as well as what Denny had offered. And so, you know, maybe, you know, if they have a waiting list or maybe they're going to put on a second class. I think this was on Sunday. I don't know if they can schedule a Saturday one or not sometimes. they will do back-to-back Saturday and Sunday if there's enough interest. But
speaking of the city, just taking a little detour for a moment, Brenda Perry was the one who was going to check in to whether the city had some money to contribute. And I saw that after several months, she had made an inquiry, and it came back to Lieutenant Stradley whether the police department had discretionary funds.
The only discretionary, I have what's forfeiture money, but there's a lot of rules on how that money's spent. It's primarily spent on police training and equipment. I don't think I can use that money towards this, but I can ask Terry if there's another fund. But so I thought.
So did you see that email? Because I think you were on that email.
I think I was too, and I remember some discussion. But I thought what we were looking at was, does the Public Safety Advisory Board have a budget, however small or large that might be, from City Council? Does the Public Safety Advisory Board have a budget? If there's any way that I'm sure I can't spend the forfeiture money, but we may have some money that I can legally spend towards that. I don't know. I'll have to ask Richard and Terry.
I was under the impression that Richard Seals had approved 3 seats for the board.
Really?
That was an email.
The impression I got from Brenda was that this was money that was coming from the City Council or city coffers.
Yeah, not from us.
You know, on every advisory board I've been on so far, I've never heard of a budget for that advisory board. But it may just be that that's kind of taken care of at staff level, and the advisory board itself doesn't need to know about it.
I don't know. What I need to do is specifically ask Richard.
Well, we have 6 months to figure it out for the next one.
Well, hopefully not. Well, I guess six months from now.
Yeah, we're not going to be able to pull it off with city funds for this one if there is something that's available. That's going to be with Denny's donation. And but again, that was just...
Denny's donation was for 4 slots.
4 slots, and you know, that's not bad for starters.
No, it isn't. It was just trying to get...
Do you remember how much each slot was?
$75.
Their structure for how they put the program together, it's capped at 75, at least for now.
Okay. Now, and if you could help me come up to speed, so that is what you're talking about, is the cost of a seat at the Street Survival Course?
Yeah. This, take that brochure. I have another back.
How's it going?
The State Public Safety Advisory Committee, by the way.
Right place.
We were just talking about you behind your back.
Oh, perfect.
Come on in.
My apologies. Sitting around and had a little bit of a car fire.
Oh, what?
Not in my car. Somebody else.
Yeah, I heard that on the 205 South or something.
Yeah, cup of median grass and on fire as well. But luckily everybody got out okay.
Good. So you would have been here sooner, but you stopped to put out a fire?
Not myself, but I do more of the media fires and deal with that part.
Oh, I see.
So I'm a public information officer.
So we should probably introduce ourselves. This is the first time you've come to our meeting, right?
It is, yeah.
Okay. And you are?
I'm Stephen Myers.
Stephen Myers.
Yep. So I got that pointed at you there.
I'm Christine Steele.
Okay.
I'm David Baker. I met you up at City Hall for the employee benefits fair, I think.
Yeah, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
Mike Stradley. I'm a lieutenant with the PD and the liaison for the group.
Okay.
Chris Duncan. I was just appointed, so it's my maiden voyage as well.
Okay. Well, good. We're in the same spot.
Tom Friedland.
We need to make sure if I can get a card from you, I'll make sure you get on the group email list so you get the email list.
I haven't gotten, I think, a couple. Somebody added me, but
okay.
Just in case.
Okay, just in case.
All right, sir.
I'd like a card, too.
Oh, yeah. Here. I've got enough to share.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What's that?
Oh.
Well, we should probably get Stephen up to speed with what our advisory board is all about.
Yeah, I did some research, and Captain Noakes brought me up to speed a little bit, and I used to work with Paseth Pitch, who was on there. So I have a good general awareness, but I appreciate it.
So we were just filling in Chris about a program about teen driver safety that we have been offered scholarships by, or four slots at this street survival course that's put in on at the PIR. And it's a day-long event, I think. Isn't it day-long? Tom, do you want to describe it? You might be able to describe it better than I can.
Training for teen drivers, specifically, they have to be permitted or licensed and have been driving for at least 6 months. And they're put with trained instructors that put them through a hazardous course on the raceway. It's alternating between classroom and behind the wheel. They'll do so much in the classroom, so much behind the wheel. They'll do skid bands, avoidance of obstacles, sudden stops, choices, kind of a mini defensive driving program. And for some individuals, it gets them a discount on their insurance. Others are doing it just for the general skills and knowledge. It builds the confidence in the team to handle vehicles under, you know, unexpected situations. My daughter did the program before she took her behind the wheel test, and it really gave her a lot of confidence in operating the car.
Sure.
But they come to Portland about twice a year, usually March and October, and they do a one-day class. We were trying to get some scholarships paid for attendance at it. We just are learning now that maybe the class for October we were shooting for was full. So maybe going back to Plan B and pushing for March, which gives us a chance to do something at least through the school's announcement program.
Yeah.
So.
Cool. This may be a blessing in disguise too. I was thinking about just going and attending and just seeing the course and seeing the activities and either getting some video or getting some pictures that we can then use for collateral to market the event.
That'd be great for promoting it.
To help promote it, just so everybody kind of clearly understands what this is all about. You know, hopefully highlighting that this is fun. You know, and so teen driving safety is one of the main issues that we're working on. This is kind of a strategy within that, focusing on the technical aspects of it. I think we're looking at it from a technical point of view and then a behavioral, right? So making good choices behind the wheel, which is kind of a separate thing that we still tend to think about a little bit. But
yeah.
There's a program you brought to our attention called It Can Wait. And I actually saw some kind of a documentary on CNN that they're promoting that. And it's basically the texting and the phoning and all of that can wait if you're driving.
Yeah, the phone down.
Yep. So what I'll do on those emails that Denny CC'd to me, I will chime in then and say, you know, will there be a class in March and could we get registered for that.
I think, too, if we can let Denny off the hook for this, I'd gladly step in his place. Since he's moved out, I think we should just offer it. If he wants to, that'd be great. But I think it'd be nice just to, you know, extend the gesture that, hey, you know, it's okay. We can take this. Or I can.
The organization that he is has the scholarships committed from is an Oregon Anglers organization. Oh, okay. So it's not the Rotary who gave a grant for the Orange Buckets, but this is a different association. And I think that he's based on the email, I think he has a credit card number or a purchase order or something. So thank you for that offer, but we may not need to take you up
on it. Okay, all right.
We'll see what happens.
One thing
just along the subject of funding, that we might look at is writing a grant with Walmart. I've written a couple now for different things. They do community grants for, and you know, $250, $300, $500, you know, and the local Walmart, the Lake Oswego Walmart. It's fairly easy to do. I've done, I did some recently for a benefit that's going on with the bringing in police officers to from Dallas and Baton Rouge that were directly impacted by the killings to go fishing on a, it's kind of a fundraiser deal for their families and whatnot. And Walmart, several Walmart stores participated in that. So it's pretty easy to do. I mean, any of us can go online and do that. So you might look at that idea. And then a guy named Martin is the general manager for the Walmart here in town. And I can give you his number. I think he'd be a good one to talk to because he's extremely community supportive. I mean, extremely. So
great.
I could see him getting behind something like this.
Awesome. Okay.
Great. So, do you think it would be better to see if Denny's organization can come through for the four, and then next a year from October, we do another four or something like that.
Sure.
So we don't. So it's more of a sustainable kind of picture.
I like it. Okay.
I think we should probably, given what you put in the email, consider that we're looking at shifting this to March. And what do we want to do as far as involving the administration of the school and communicating this to the students, since we have time to do that. With school starting here in September, we're on a short cycle to get anything out before we have to decide here. We can make a selection, have it in place, perhaps do the drawing right after the first of the year, sometime giving them a month or two to prepare and go, block the time accordingly. That'd be the way I would think we'd need to proceed.
I think so too. The officer bunch, can he help us promote this? What do you think he should have a role? Should we be working with him? Should we be asking him what is the best way to promote it at the high school?
Yeah, I think he should have. I think he should have a role in like communicating with Kevin Mills, the principal. You know, I think that's a piece. And then Pam Pierce, you know, Pam and with the Westland Task Force group of, that deals with the parents. They're right now working on with the school trying to be able to have access to email list to parents. So I think both those things would be beneficial partners. I think Pam Pierce and her group, I try to go to those meetings, and they definitely are in it for the right reason, trying to accomplish things. They've talked about some of the same things. She's somebody that we could probably invite to one of these meetings. She's really big on the sort of drug abuse, alcohol abuse side of things, and teen driving and how that connects. And so there, I think you could join forces with them would be worthwhile.
It would be, yeah.
Now, as far as jurisdictions go, is Wilsonville part of the service area that would be affected by the scholarship or
we're
not?
In the Wilsonville School District.
Okay,
you know, Wilsonville School District. Okay. But that, I mean, I know the concentration here would probably be our high school.
Gotcha.
That's a good question, though.
Yeah, I mean, when you don't have the kids in the
I think it also has to look at that there are some Westland students that are attending Wilsonville or going down to Art Tech in Wilsonville.
Yep.
And they shouldn't be excluded. So I think that we need to at least have some notice to the broader spectrum that if they are Westland residents, they're eligible to submit to the the selection process for the lottery. I'd hate to call it the lottery. They're gambling for their slot. But.
So these are all good ideas, as well as using our Westland update that comes out every Wednesday that Courtney Flynn
yeah.
does. We could meet with her, show her one of the brochures, and tell her we're working on it. I think what we've been kind of waiting on is to just see if we were going to get those scholarships that Denny promised, or, you know, those places. Yeah. And that has just been very slow, but he's, it's, if that doesn't come through, what I hear several of you saying is we should just operate as if we know we will have registration for March.
Yeah, another.
And promote it.
Another thing that crosses my mind, so here we have a police benevolent fund. Mm-hmm. And they're a 501(c), so they can accept money, donations that could be used for something like this. So the benevolent fund is people we here that we could talk to, and if we found businesses or whatever that wanted to donate, they can donate to the benevolent fund that can write the check for the, that's legal, we can legally do that.
I think that is what Denny and Chief Timmius talked about.
Okay, that makes sense.
That I think, yep. But I don't think anything came of it. And then he seemed confused as to how.
Well,
to
we need to have the we need to have some of the people regarding the benevolent fund. I need to communicate with them and talk. I mean, we all put money into the benevolent fund, but we've had people donate money that then goes to another deal because mm-hmm. they can operate up to $50,000 a year in benefits. There's some restrictions tax-wise mm-hmm. beyond that, so they have to stay below that. They're very involved in this fishing thing that's going on. Mm-hmm. But on something that's, I mean, this is, we're not talking about a lot of money. We're talking 10 people, $750. That's just, in a town like this, that's just not that hard to raise.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we're probably relieved in staying smaller than that, just because of the limit in the class. You don't necessarily want to overwhelm.
Yeah, that's true.
It will.
Okay.
40 slots in the class, 10 of them, you know, a quarter mm-hmm. of them in from West Lynn on scholarship. That might be annoying to some other people that are trying to get in.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know.
I think 4 is a good number for the first time. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then we've got these other ideas for, you know, to keep it going. So we've had a lot of good ideas. It sounds like it's time to take some action and start making contacts and promoting. And I think we need somebody to lead that part of the effort, because otherwise we just tend to have our good ideas and then not, you know, nobody feels like they're the ones who need to pick up the phone and act on them. Would you be interested in taking the lead? Do you have any bandwidth for that? Since you've already been in touch with Pierce.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Officer Bunch.
Yeah, I've been working hard kind of planting some seeds to develop some relationships, so mm-hmm. when the time came for us to reach out, that we could do that. The one person that I haven't been able to get to yet is Principal Mills, and I think that's mm-hmm. going to be huge for us mm-hmm. to build that level of trust that we're working with the school district, we're mm-hmm. not working against, we're not trying to blame anybody, we're not trying to influence the curriculum, but we're just supportive.
And there's a lot of support for that right now. Pam has had some success in that regard. I've had success in that regard with dealing with Kevin Mills. There's a new superintendent that's very supportive of this kind of stuff. So I think this is a good time. And okay. Al can introduce you to Kevin, or I can, or even Pam probably could. But I think it's a good time. The beginning of this school year is going to be a good time to be doing this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Nobody's going to think this is a bad idea.
Right.
So
I would gladly do that.
Thank you.
And I will also, we can talk about who's in charge of the benevolent fund right now. It's Chad Jones.
Chad. Yeah, okay.
So he's your best contact regarding the rules and whatnot about if some person or business wants to donate money that would then go to you guys to do this. He's the guy that knows how to do that.
Perfect. Okay.
Okay. And if you can inquire what is the best way to promote at the high school, like I don't know if they have it, you know, how they communicate out to the students, then maybe you and I'd be happy to sit in and we could make a meeting with Courtney Flynn.
Let's talk
about how to craft the message.
Let's see how it goes.
Okay.
This is a little bit sensitive with the school district. Let's develop a relationship and then maybe come back and try to get them to act. But
like Chris, I don't know anything about the school district. I've never had a child go through the Westland school, so it's any sensitivity would like go right over my head.
Yeah, it is, and you're aware of that, so that's good. It's just they're very protective of their kids, not in a bad way. They're just very, very protective, and so they're going to want to really believe in what's going on. But I don't think this particular idea is a hard sell at all. And they do have ways to communicate with the kids and with the parents, a number of different ways. And so does Pam.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Do you want to add anything to that, Tom?
I'm just thinking how to wordsmith something for that. That shares the interest, the concern. And I think that even if we're promoting it, the idea of making the decision on who's going to be the one going on the scholarships fairly early in the registration process gives the others the opportunity, if they don't win, that they can still have time to enroll.
True.
And so I think if we find the time frame that gives the most latitude prior to it, here we are in August, the October class is full, so making that selection perhaps after the first year would be about the right time.
Mm-hmm.
But having the spots already locked up.
Have them locked up, but be promoting it so that if those don't get selected, well, I still want to go, then they can con their parents into $75.
Right.
Or the parents will con him into going.
Which is another idea in support of only doing 4 scholarships each time. Because there could be other West Lynn kids who go on their own dime or their parents' dime. And we could still be like Big Surge through there if there's only 40 at a time. So I think that keeping it fairly small in terms of the number of scholarships we might offer at any one time.
And it'd be great if we
is
if
fine.
4 every time.
Yeah,
you know.
I think that is the thing to try to do.
But I like that early promotion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was just going to write that down. Okay. Oh, anything else on the teen driver safety? Then, Chris and Stefan, another thing that we've been doing this summer is to have a booth at our weekly concert series.
Yeah.
And we've been promoting teen driver safety as much as we could, and also, we've been promoting the Map Your Neighborhood program. Are you familiar with that?
Mm-hmm.
And I put in a bullet here on our agenda for lessons learned because there were some things that I wanted to share and maybe do differently next year. And one of the things was, we never got our banner and we never got our name badges that say Public Safety Advisory Board. So we did find the old paper banner that is difficult to put up in a high wind.
Mm-hmm.
And the library has a very nice, the West Lynn Library has a very nice banner. And Courtney Flynn seemed to take an interest, but I don't know what her workload is. And I think she'd really needs the request coming from the staff rather than from the advisory board members.
Okay.
So without having anything at the booth that identified us well, the only people we seemed to draw were the kids who came for the candy on our table. So
we need to get a public safety advisory board banner that is made well enough that it can be used year after year and is,
yes,
or at whatever event we're at.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Be great.
I think I can do that. So I need size.
So we've been using a 10 by 10 sunshade canopy tent. So
10 feet by 2 feet, basically?
Yeah, I think that'd be good. With a little, like, ring holes, you know, that you could use to...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a vinyl sign that you could zip tie or...
Right.
And I guess design-wise, Public Safety Advisory Board, written out.
And the Westland logo.
And the Westland logo.
I think, and, you know, an appropriate color scheme. I think the library is kind of brown and green on a mm-hmm. white background.
Yeah, that's kind of the, that's sort of the standard.
Right.
Look at the.
Right.
And that'll be helpful because when people are coming up to us, they don't know if we're trying to sell them something or so, you know, trying to remove barriers to entry to have them come and have a conversation with us. So
yeah.
I think the takeaway for me is it's kind of reminded me of fishing this summer and that you can see the fish rising and they're biting, but they're not necessarily taking our bait. So
yeah.
We need to kind of think about, you know, sharpening our tools a little bit and our messaging and really kind of looking at it as like a big pipeline that we're trying to educate folks and move them towards being prepared. But there's some folks out there that aren't really aware of Cascadia. So trying to sign them up immediately into a Map Your Neighborhood course, they're there to have fun, they're listening to yeah. music. But if we can just give them a little bit of information about what is Cascadia, then I think we can make some progress from that because we're just slowly adding people into our bucket, you know, and moving them down.
Another thing we talked about was maybe alternating. So 1 week we would promote the teen driver safety, and the next week it would be Map Your Neighborhood, and going back and forth, in which case it would be nice to have a couple smaller banners that one says something like neighborhood preparedness or something like that, mm-hmm. and the other one says teen driver safety. And that way we can maybe put the Public Safety Advisory Board on top and then the smaller banner below it. And that way people can come up to us and who desire a conversation about one of those topics.
So would so teen driver safety, that's you know, that's easy to understand, but you wouldn't the Map Your Neighborhood deal, you wouldn't necessarily want Map Your Neighborhood. That what would you want? Neighborhood safety?
Neighborhood preparedness?
Neighborhood preparedness?
Or what did the rest of you guys
are you ready that draws somebody in for what?
We tried last summer, David and I tried what's in your bucket or something like that. And that didn't go over real well. And Danny was the one who felt that Map Your Neighborhood just doesn't convey it.
Yeah.
So he was yeah. always has been promoting neighborhood preparedness as the phrase.
Or neighborhood emergency preparedness.
I like that too.
Well, the Public Safety Advisory Board, that one's pretty easy. But the other ones, I think what I'm going to do, I'll figure out where to get this done and then get some kind of design ideas, maybe several ideas, and then either bring it to the next, I'll email it out, but I can bring it to the next meeting and then some decisions can be made.
That would be so cool.
Get it.
Perfect.
But I won't get them prior to probably the next meeting so you can see some options.
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, talk to Doug at the library and find out where they got there.
Sure.
That'd be great. Thank you.
And this series, I mean, it's done.
Right.
Thursday will be the last one.
Year right now instead
right.
of waiting.
Yeah.
Right.
Because there's a ton of people up there. It's definitely important that we have presence. And who knows, maybe we go to different events like the Old Time Fair. Because, gosh.
And, you know, and it, we started preparing for the Old Time Fair the week after the last one. Mm-hmm. And this particular fair went fantastic. Our theme was safety and fitness. Mm-hmm. And we had a pull-up bar down there. We had a weighted vest so guys could feel what it's like to wear a bunch of stuff. And the kids loved it. It did really well. We had a lot of positive. But we started preparing a long time ago, and mm-hmm. so we might as well start preparing for the next. And like you said, for any event, you have these signs that are ready to go and they're reusable. So if something comes up between now and then, you're ready. Yeah.
So. Also, refining the swag idea. I noticed that, the library also had a good approach to that. And I'm not saying I want to do exactly what they did, but something that would draw a kid over, give him a prize or a toy of some kind. One time only, because we had a lot of double and triple and quadruple dippers. And that's it. I mean, I don't want to spend the whole time monitoring the candy. So what the library booth did, I mean, bear in mind, all they wanted to do was to have library card applications there for people to sign up. That was their piece of business, but they had this little spin thing. So depending on when you spun the wheel, depending on where it landed, you get to choose a toy from tray A, B, C, or D, and it was just that simple. And they stamped the kid's hand, so he couldn't come back and do it repeatedly.
That is a good idea.
Yeah.
Another thing we did that was kind of fun down here is, and you could do it very easy with teen driving stuff, we asked questions regarding fitness, how many calories do you burn or whatever. But you could ask questions that a kid has to answer about, just statistics. What's the worst, form of, or what's the most dangerous thing you can do behind the wheel, or whatever questions you come up with. But they have to answer a couple questions.
Yeah.
And then, regardless of what they get them right or wrong, mm-hmm. they still get the
prize. Nice.
But they have to ask. They learn something by having to answer a couple questions first.
Yeah.
It was, and they had to spin the thing and all kinds of stuff. They had a spin deal for questions. Okay, this is a question you have to answer. They had all kinds of stuff down there. They did a good job.
Mm-hmm. So. I guess what my takeaway was, swag isn't everything. We need an interaction, but we need to limit the interactions with the kids. We don't want to limit it with the parents, because that's who we're there to talk to. But with the kids, we just want a little bit, not, as much as we have. We don't want to be overwhelmed by the children.
Right. Yeah, you spend all your time talking to them.
Well, I think what happened was that they kind of kept the parent. They brought the parents, but kept the parents at a distance. So we didn't really get a chance to pitch anything to the parents. Mm-hmm. So, anything else we want about lessons learned? Okay. So there's one concert remaining this Thursday. Would you like to come?
And where is it?
It's up at on Parker Road at what's the name of that park?
Tandler?
Yeah,
it's just right up behind like Safeway and all that area, that great big park. That's where they do the concert in the park.
Kind of by the skate park.
Oh yeah, Chris knows where the skate park is.
Dude, where?
If you're going up Salamo, the first street after you pass Safeway is Parker. You take a right on Parker, and you go down, kind of drops down a little hill around
that kind of Wild Rose
It's just this side of Wild Rose.
Yeah.
That's the park. Right.
Oh, that's the park we're talking about. Yeah.
And there's a field you drive in and park where you see everybody parking there.
Okay. And it's at what time?
It's 6? Does it start 6:30 at
6? 6:30 to 8:30?
Starts at 6:30. If you want to get there at 6:15, that's when we're setting up.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, when do you set up?
Yeah. So you're welcome to come.
I think that should work. I have people working at my house, but they should be gone by then.
If
quit in time.
Yeah. And Tom, you're invited anytime.
Yeah, well, it's another jaunt to California at 4 in the morning.
Oh. Yeah.
You're working too hard. I thought you retired.
I retired from one of my positions, not all of them.
Okay. Then David wanted to, I think I had taken social media off the agenda because I thought we were taking a different route, but I guess I shouldn't have.
Yeah, I think the action from last meeting was for me to just provide like a high-level workflow for how the board can use social media. Mm-hmm. And then I know Tom and maybe somebody else was looking for some examples of a typical Facebook post or a Twitter post. So I've got a few handouts real quick.
Now, is this like through Courtney? So you're doing it on the city website? Is
yep.
It? Okay.
So the objective with this is to make it super easy for us to communicate, to work with Courtney. And, you know, here at the top, this is the board. And I'm down below, and really kind of my role here is to contribute but also serve as a clearinghouse for content that will come into me. And really, you know, I can tweak content that comes in, and I can kind of massage it to make it work for Courtney. But what I want to do is make sure that we're delivering the right message, but also make it super easy for Courtney just to post it on the different sites, because she not only has the city work, she has the different advisory boards, she has neighborhood associations, she's got a lot on her plate. So if we make it easier for her, then we're more likely to get her stuff posted, which we want. And then down below, these are just kind of some sample kind of outlets where we can post, with Facebook, Twitter, and Nextdoor are probably kind of the three main ones. There's also the weekly newsletter, but... getting onto that Wednesday newsletter, I think as a board would have to, maybe spend a meeting to talk about like what exactly the message that we want to write. But as far as right now, what we can do with social media, we can put. I mean, we have access to these channels. Mm-hmm. So if you flip the page, then there's just some examples of Facebook content that we could put out there, and these are two that I just did as kind of a sample. One was how to use a fire extinguisher. With a video that was linked on YouTube. And in each of these things, you can just, write a few sentences. If you find a good video that's about preparedness or you find it on YouTube, and then just when you're sending an email to me, all this would be done through email. You just send me an email. Here's my content for this month. So a little kind of synopsis and then the video. And this one was from Northwest Natural. And this was just kind of repurposed content. They had a gas meter, and it was just, how do you turn off a gas meter? So, the objective is to give whoever's viewing this something useful. So they learn something from, spending 30 seconds looking at whatever we have for them. And then down below is Twitter. I don't know if you've used Twitter before, but this is kind of a shortened version, abbreviated version of Facebook, and this is where you're writing basically a sentence, and then maybe you're posting a sentence about a link that you found that pertains to disaster preparedness, or an image that, like the down in the lower right corner, this is sample items for a preparedness bucket, this is a news article about Cascadia. If you want to get started with social this month, this would probably be the easiest thing to do. Find a link, write a sentence why this is interesting, and then I'll shoot it off to Courtney. The last one is Nextdoor, and that might be useful for setting up meetings.
We're seeing that from the police side get used a lot. The Nextdoor, for whatever reason, it's really catching on around here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
I'm seeing that too.
It'd be great to be visible at Nextdoor. And Nextdoor, there isn't really any limits on how much we can write. But I think it would be good, at the very least, to put our events out there if we're at the library talking about. And I think this one was from Grant. He had done this earlier, back in May. Mm-hmm. So I guess last meeting, there was kind of concerns over, like, what is the social media? How does this work? How do I produce content? And this is just kind of the very basic workflow. I wish Chuck and Grant were here, because I think they had some questions about it, but...
They don't have to know how it works. They just have to get the idea and a link. If there's a link to you, you can work directly with Courtney. I think that's an excellent idea. The only thing I'd add is we should probably include Mike Francis as another person you deal with, because the police, Twitter and Facebook can repost and retweet, and in some cases we can be the ones, if it was really... It's for some reason you want it to be a public safety deal, and then Courtney can retweet and repost so that you just have more viewers. You know, people are going to read the police one that might not look at the city one. And there's no reason why we can't repost and retweet basically everything that this board's doing.
Who does read?
We'd be happy to do the same.
Great. Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. Really nice. Thank you.
Who is the audience? Who would go to the police Facebook before they would go to the general city Facebook?
I think anyone who's concerned about their safety—if safety is a concern, it's or you know, wanting to see what's going on in the city, you know, all of our press releases, all that kind of stuff, the burglaries that we had recently that we ended up arresting a couple bad guys. They get all that information off the police. They don't get that off the city. Uh-huh. I mean, it might end up on the city at some point, but I know none of the burglary stuff has. That all comes off the police. So in some regards, the people that are safety conscious, they're the ones going to the police. And then sometimes it's just for entertainment.
The life in West Lynn.
Yeah, yeah. Injured squirrel in the driveway. One of the first calls I got when I came here. I'm not kidding. Seriously. I loved it. Nice older gal. I said, I'll take care of that for you.
Before we got the new washer in, you know, we were having to go down the street. I forgot the soap. My husband is sitting there on the curb, and as I'm waiting for me to go back with the soap, and as I approach him, he goes, "Man with suspicious bag seen sitting on the curb." We'll read about it next week.
That's right.
Yeah.
So how would you include the TV FNR or police Facebook here? In the workflow, kind of, would you just put them like down there?
Well, it would be Courtney, and it'd be Sergeant Francis, and then it'd be
Stefan.
Yes, there would be a few. You're going to do this
by
David,
you're going to do this by email, basically.
Just by email.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just include those three people in the email of information you wanted to go out, and then you would screen it for this works for us, and we would do the same thing.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be any more for you other than just adding two new email addresses.
And it wouldn't be any more for us then,
nope.
Because we just go through David.
And it wouldn't be any more for Courtney. Because even if, Francis is really good at this, even if we don't post it, there's no reason to not retweet it or repost it. And I'm not, I'm saying the words without the understanding, because I don't have a Facebook page and I'm not on Twitter on purpose. But it has a ton of value. It has a ton of value.
Well, I just have to comment. If I were on Twitter and I were getting information, ads, what have you pushed me that I wasn't looking for, I would get off Twitter. I mean, I don't even want to get tweets from my friends because it just looks so distracting, and it might be my age that I have to work harder to keep my mind focused on one thing at a time, and to get, you know, that little tweet and a little distraction. Hey, what do you want to do for lunch? And just like, leave me alone. I'll talk to you when I'm ready.
It's amazing. I mean, you talked. Yeah, one of my daughter's varsity basketball coach for Lake Ridge High School. And I actually do have a Twitter deal where I follow her and nothing else. Mm-hmm. But it is amazing the completely different attitude that so many of these young people have. Mm-hmm. They pick what they're going to follow, mm-hmm. and if they're not getting distracted every 30 seconds, they're getting bored. Mm-hmm. So it's an amazing amount of information, but it's information they choose. Mm-hmm. They don't have to follow the city. They're choosing to follow the city, mm-hmm. or the police.
Exactly.
They're choosing to follow those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys are not going to overwhelm anything with
that's,
your information.
That's good to know. Yeah. I mean, that's something that it's not going to be like all these, you know, you buy something online and all of a sudden you get all these offers on email.
No. Yeah, okay. If your target audience, which seems to be teens, mm-hmm. that's kind of where you have to be.
Uh-huh. You do?
Facebook is passe.
I realize that these kids, I mean, their brains are mapped differently from how my brain was mapped.
Yeah. The way they communicate, everything about the way they operate is totally and completely different.
Because I would say, pertaining to this and the different messages, Nextdoor, newsletter, and Pinterest would be your ideal map your neighborhood mm-hmm. audiences. Mm-hmm. And then Facebook and Twitter and to your other extent for Instagram would be more for the teen safety.
Yep.
So if you're looking for which pipelines to put that information in.
Exactly.
He gets it.
Exactly. Oh, yeah.
That's his
job.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
You're the public safety.
Oh, yeah, public affairs officer.
You bet.
Yeah, good. Good input. Thank you for help.
Yeah,
both for helping me understand. Okay. All of you.
You know, the nice thing about this,
it's
too,
okay, it's
is...
It's not for everyone. And that's okay.
You know, it'd be really cool at the end of this year to go to City Council and say, look, we created this amount of content, and as a board, we are all contributing, and this is how we're moving the needle. It's going to get some good attention, so...
And you can also pull numbers on it, which is really nice, because we'll do that. So if there's a message that we did that we thought was really important in wildfire awareness, you can actually pull the numbers on that, on how many people viewed it, how many people shared it or did some sort of action, which then is a nice piece of that report to say,
it is.
Not only did we just throw it out into the world, it actually had, you know, value for this amount of people. And if it's ducklings in the storm drain, it's going to be a big number.
No kidding.
That's our squirrel in the driveway.
Ducklings in the storm drain.
45,000 views. So.
Wow. That's awesome.
So, I know you've been asking us for content for months now. Would it help if, when we send out the draft agenda, we send out a reminder... If you haven't already, please get your social content to David.
Be great, yeah. Yeah, and we'll have some training wheels for the first few months, so if you have any questions, you can email me and we'll work on it together.
And then next thing you can start is that Pokemon.
Yeah, right.
Oh, God.
We Francis did that here.
Did he?
Police department. Apparently, we've got Pokemon you can find out here.
In the bushes.
Apparently. I wasn't involved, but they did it here so that there you can come to the police department to find it. I've never seen it. Find your little Pokemon, capture them or whatever at the police department.
Apparently there's some in front of Station 59 as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
They had a good crowd out there.
Is there anything else for the good of the order? What's that?
I want dinner.
Oh, yeah. You're supposed to eat first.
I didn't have time. Nobody was home.
I could just quickly give you a couple updates if you guys want.
I was going to invite that since we skipped over your section because you weren't here, because you were putting out a grass fire.
So a couple things. Station 55 mm-hmm. up on Rosemont. I believe Tim did a quick update on that. We went and talked to the Hidden Springs Neighborhood Association mm-hmm. and had a good meeting up there. Got some good input, especially from the neighbors in the area, and we were able to connect them with the architect on a couple concerns they had. And then it's just been nice to get some awareness out there. We did also create some maps that kind of showed why we are looking at that area, which I'd be happy to share with this group, because it shows what our response time in that area is now, and then what a station does, and why that's, you know, really valuable for our fire and rescue system. So we're still in that process, and it's going to take a little while to, I think our next step would be working with the city on getting permits and applications started.
And that's still, like, right pretty close to Trillium Creek Elementary, right, kind of next
yes.
to it there?
Okay. So the back of the property butts up to the back of the
right.
property.
Okay. So
yeah. Which we've also been working on some safe routes to schools with the school itself, because there are routes that they've identified that they want. There's also some informal routes, so we're trying to make sure all those are going to be safe and very visible for the kids. Our water rescue team that's based out of here actually is getting a new boat. Looks like it's going to be this fall. They'll be doing that. So they've had the one that they currently have for quite a while. And that'll continue to be used, but they're going to be getting a new boat. Our first tiller went into service. So we have a new vehicle that you might see around. It's a tractor-drawn tiller aerial ladder truck is the bigger term. But it's one where you have the driver in the back that's driving. As well as in the front, it gives you a lot more maneuverability on some of the tighter roads that we're obviously seeing. When you get cars parked on both sides, it's really challenging. Right now, it's in downtown Beaverton. The long-term goal is actually that station, 55, is to have one there. Because as you know, we have some pretty tight streets out here.
Yeah.
And to be able to get a ladder truck that would give us capabilities of, you know, accessing roof lines and a lot more operationally, that makes a lot of sense.
Plus, you're on the hill already. You're not having to climb the hill.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, we did notice there's a couple hills around here. So that just went into service. It's in downtown Beaverton, but it's a future tool that we hope to deploy in the Westland area. And the final one was just awareness. I'm working with Alice right now, and she's doing her Oktoberfest. So she's going to be doing a large tent. So we're working on and trying to help her with getting it permitted and taken care of. So that's all I have.
No, it's great. Thank
you've met Alice.
I did, yeah.
The unofficial mayor of the city.
She doesn't lack for energy. But, yeah, so that's what we got going on.
Great.
But excited to be here and help in whatever way we can.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice meeting you.
Anything else?
Just out of pure curiosity, because I'm a retired housing specialist, and one of the last projects that I worked on in I was posted in Alaska,
okay.
But public safety housing, because in communities where you're priced out for what public service people are oftentimes paid, you know, keeping staffed and ready to respond in areas of emergency, people don't always make that kind of connection. Do we have any data on
We've actually started working on.
From
a police side, we started working on it because there's so many bridges. If Cascadia actually happens and you're not going to be able to get to your police department, there are a ton of cops that live in this city that will be able to walk here. So and we know where a lot of them live. We haven't formalized it.
Right.
But we're starting to, on the EOC side, you know, the Emergency Operations Center, which this is it, we're starting to look at the idea of formalizing more with Westland citizens that live in Westland who are cops. You're not going to be able to get to your police department, so how about being willing to come here? So it is something that we're starting to look at. Now, fire, I mean, there's all kinds of firemen living here, too, that don't necessarily work for TBF&R. It's another thing to think about. But you're not going to be able to get to your city. I lived in Tualatin and used to work for Portland, so I'm not going to get there. Right. But now I can get here. Yeah. I mean, I can walk here, even though I'd have to cross the Tualatin River. But I can get here pretty easy.
Yeah.
And so that is something we've started thinking about.
Your emergency kit includes a kayak, right?
I can swim, but you know, I mean, we're going to quickly set up a way to get across, even if it's just a rope and a boat. I mean, you're gonna have to. But there are a lot of cops in this city that we could take advantage of in that kind of a scenario where it's truly a full blown 9.3 kind of a everything, nothing works, and we have started developing that.
Couple of big blows. Like I said, I was living here when the Columbus Day storm happened. So.
Yeah.
I was a little kid.
That was a big one.
I was fifth grade. Yeah. But anyway, I was just curious.
And we kind of have the same situation. Ours, we have the level of staffing, I mean, a pretty robust level of staffing, just 24 hours a day at the station.
Yeah.
So there's your initial response.
Right.
But we have a kind of a closest forces agreement, if you will. Whichever city you live in, you go to that station. And here and a couple other cities have a pretty good population of firefighters.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, this we do fine. We would be fine as long as, but it's kind of communicating that, and that's kind of what we're starting to develop instead of, you know, people that work for Portland trying to get down to Portland. Just, hey, stay here, we'll put you to work. Because we're going to have people that can't get here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm remembering that Tom has not had his dinner.
I'm so sorry.
So I'm going to suggest we adjourn the meeting. all not in favor? No opposition.
All right. Tape is concluded.